invite you to keep your Bible open, if you would. We'll be going to look at something else here in just a little bit. Genesis chapter number 1, and we will pick up in verse number 1. Began this morning preaching on the subject, a God on the move. And I want to just repeat what I said this morning. I thank the Lord that we serve a living God, a God that is capable of moving. But even more important than that, I thank the Lord that He's willing to move our direction, and that He is mindful of us, that the sovereign God of heaven knows who we are and knows your worst, knows your best. The Bible says He knows our downsitting or uprising. He knows what we think. He knows our thoughts afar off. The very worst of me, He knows. The very best, when people are looking and when people are not, God sees it all. And yet He still chooses to love us and to make moves toward us. And I want to highlight that more this evening. And again, that's what we're praying for, is a major move from God. And we need that in these days. Before we read, I'll just simply say this. Any move from God toward us is a major move. However, some of God's movements are manifested in different ways. And we need God to manifest Himself in a move that will move us forward, and for the glory of God. So let's begin Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Just leave your Bible open, if you will, and we'll continue and try not to deal with what we dealt with this morning, other than to say we are in, I pray this about every time I pray, Lord, we're in need of help from heaven. Probably every time I pray, I say, Lord, we're in desperate need of help from heaven. And every person in here, saved or lost, whether you realize it or whether you don't, we need God to move personally. We need God to move cooperatively and as a whole with our church, but we need God to move individually. And ain't you glad He will? Ain't you glad God don't need a certain size group, a certain size church? When God came to save you, He didn't wait till 10 or 12 got together in order for Him to make a visit and move your way. No, He moves individually, personally. And what a wonderful truth. But we need God to make a move. As we said this morning, we need God to make a move in our homes, personally, in our marriages, in our homes, in our church, and of course in our town and in our country, and really in the world. And but first things first, before we try to tackle and take on the world, we need to focus on who's in the mirror. that person that you wake up and look at every morning, that person that when you look in the mirror, It's his breath or her breath you smell coming back at you that you have to address in a hurry, hopefully. That person you know best, even better than your spouse or your child, you know you better than anyone except God. And I know me better than anyone. And I'm sure you can find fault in me and vice versa. But I want to encourage us all tonight to let's try to get our mind off of each other and off of everything else. And just for a little bit, try to focus on purpose on the Word of God and on the God of the Word making a move toward you and being willing to let Him speak to you, because God operates through His voice. We'll look more at that in just a minute, but the worlds were framed by the word of His mouth. And so we need God to speak to us and to move our direction. We looked at the pre-existing conditions without form, void, darkness, then the providential choice and how there don't have to be a precedent. There don't have to be anything preceding or anything, any standard per se met. How God does give some standards to be met in order to get God to do some things. The Bible says some comes by fasting and prayer only. So that's a condition. The Bible said, if my people, then. So that's a condition. But there's some things, like the scripture we just read, there was no man pleading with God to move upon the void and the dark. The darkness that there was. God took the initiative. God took the ownership, and God decided, I'm going to step in and I'm going to move. And He did. And so the providential choice, and God moves when He wants, where He wants, and how He wants. And praise the Lord. But then we finished this morning talking about the powerful confirmation. When God moves, it's for a purpose. When God moves, there's a reason behind it. God is not up in heaven just acting haphazardly. God don't wake up one morning and say, well, wonder what we'll do today. No, God don't operate that way. God is very specific. God is very sovereign, and God knows the end from the beginning. And God, when He moves with purpose. And when God moves, things happen. Now, I may move, and not much happens. I have figured out this, the older I get, when I move, certain things happen. This hurts, and that hurts, and this creaks, and that pops. But not God. When God moves, big things happen. And God's a mighty powerful God. When God moves, worlds pop into existence. When God moves, chaos turns into creation. When God moves, dead things begin to live. When God moves, sinners become saved saints. When God moves, people that were headed for hell make a U-turn and are headed for heaven. When God moves, marriages are put back together again. When God moves, anything is possible. When God moves, things happen that would not have happened otherwise. And that's really the whole point and the whole premise of us praying. We're coming together and we're praying and we're burdened that we would see God move in such a way that we've never seen Him move before. That we would see supernatural things. Or don't you ever get tired of just the norm? Don't you ever want more? Don't you want to experience a side of God that you've never experienced before? Don't you want to have God move in your life personally in such a way, speak in such clarity that you can make out what He's saying, that He touches in such a way that you can feel the hand and heart of God, that He touches you in such a way that you will never, ever be the same?
Now, I know He did that when He saved you. Remember? What a life-changing experience when God came to you and touched you and moved on you and your sins disappeared. And He imputed righteousness. He moved your sin out of your account and He moved the righteousness of Christ into your account and made you as righteous and holy as Christ. And He changed you for not just for life, but forever. But I'm speaking about a second touch, a second moving. I'm talking about God can touch you in such a way. God can touch me and desires to touch me in such a way that we'll never be the same Christian again. And some might say, well, I'm satisfied. I like my life where it's... Well, you can enjoy and like your life, but you should desire more. You should desire to be better, more of a Christian. And hadn't you tried? I mean, surely you said, I'm gonna be a better prayer warrior, only to let that turn into a futile thing and fail. I'm going to start witnessing more. I'm going to start reading more, only for that to last a week or two, or maybe a month or two, and then it slide back down in the same doldrum and you become the same person. Wouldn't it be wonderful for God to move on you in such a way that you go to another level, never to recede, never to backslide back down to that person you was? But don't you desire that? Don't you desire for our church to rise to a new level, to experience a different a power that only God can provide? We can. God will. He's able to do that. And we should pray for it. We need God to move. Now, I'm going to pick up and move quicker because I got a lot to deal with. And I said this morning, and I said earlier, sometimes it depends on us. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows everything and He's all-powerful, but God also give me and you a will. He give us a volition. We're not dogs and we're not cats. We as the human race are made in the image of God, and He made us different, and He's not going to bulldoze over your will. And if you say, no, God, I don't want you to move, then He'll respect that. And He'll be a perfect gentleman and He will back away. But God forbid, we need Him to move. We don't need to say, no, God, no closer. Don't come any closer. Don't look here. Don't speak about that. No, we need to open up the doors to our soul and the doors to our spiritual life and say, Lord, as the psalmist prayed, search me, O Lord. Try me. Try my innermost reins and see if there be any wicked way in me. When's the last time we gave God free rein to come in and look around? When God moves, He moves with purpose and reason. God don't just move for entertainment. And we're living in a world that's, I mean in the church world, Brother Jackie. I saw this, Brother Leonard Fletcher shared this the other day. It said, I agree, had Joel Osteen on Siri. It said Joel Osteen had the message title, and the category was entertainment. And he said, I agree. It wasn't religious, it wasn't spiritual, it was entertainment. Yeah. And I'd have to agree. But the church world has become so demanding that they be entertained. There's more fog-filled sanctuaries and laser lights and rock and roll bands and yes, that grabs a crowd. But listen to me, we don't need bigger crowds for the sake of having bigger crowds. We don't need more entertainment. No, we need a real move of God, and that will bring people. That will build a crowd. If God moves, you remember in the Bible when Jesus would come into a place and everyone say, well, it's just not popular and the times are changing and we just got to change with the times and we got to do this and we got to do that to attract the people and we're getting left in time. Listen, Jesus, he didn't change with the times. Jesus just simply came and moved in power and they wasn't, you remember the one man, they had his friends grabbed him and they couldn't even get in the house. It was so full. So they had to climb up on top and rip the roof off and lower him down. Many times Jesus would have to go out into a boat just so he could turn around and preach to the masses and the multitudes. They thronged him everywhere he went. I'm simply saying when God moves, there'll be no problem getting people. It's when man moves that we have to manipulate and try to remanufacture something. No, if God moves in authenticity, if God moves in a genuine way, there'll be no need to play games. There'll be no need to entertain. No, God will be the entertainment and God will be the one doing the moving and it'll be life-changing. Not shallow. Not cotton candy Christianity. Tastes good, feels good for a moment, but then it disappears and you gain nothing from it. Nothing was changed. We need something that's going to stick and stay. And only God can do that. It's not because God's restless. It's not to make us feel good. We don't need God to move so we can brag or gain self-glory and say, look what God's doing here. It's not to compete with others. No, those are all the wrong motives. God moves for a reason and a specific purpose. And when God moves, you'll know He moved. Because He will accomplish something and it'll be very clear. It won't be chaotic. It won't be confusion. It'll be very clear what God does. In our text, we've seen how God took the chaos and coming out of that, when God was finished moving, that was chaos became so clear and so plain and so precise and so creation. And so permanent, it's still lasting today. We're living on what He spoke way back then. I almost didn't even make an outline for this message. I usually try to do that and I try to alliterate it and make it look pretty and sound pretty and all that stuff. But when I was thinking about the movements of God, the truth is it's almost impossible to make outline the movements of God. It's almost impossible to draw a diagram or to write a formula out for the movements of God because they're so abstract. You can't put God in a box. God is God and He's God alone. And when God decides to move, it's not 1 plus 2 equals 4. No. God can do anything with anybody that He wants to. And if God decides that He sees a little group of people, a small group of His children on the side of the road at Morningstar Baptist Church who gets hungry and thirsty, and we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, He promised He would fill us. And He can move here. God's movements can be random and unpredictable. And it's amazing when God really moves. Lord, help us not to get to a place where God moves and it just becomes normal. And we just sit and watch Him move and don't participate in His movement and don't respond to His movement. Let's look at some places in the Word of God where God moved, beginning right here in our text. Again, creation always comes out of chaos when God's in it. When God moves or begins to create something out of chaos, there's always disruption. God disrupted some things. When it was chaos, God stepped into a chaotic situation and God began to create, but in order to create, He had to disrupt what was going on. And hear me. You might have been in this sermon and all for it, and I got several texts today, and I'm grateful. People saying the Lord spoke to my heart, and that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. I got help. I appreciate that. But don't lose me here. Don't bail out here. But I promise you this. It ain't all going to be feel good. It ain't all going to be positive. When God begins to move, He's going to demand some things be disrupted in my life. God's going to say, that ain't going to work. That's got to go. That's got to come in. And He's going to begin to rearrange things. He's going to begin to toss some things. And He's going to be able to start to place some things. And it's disruptive when God creates. By definition, creation out of chaos, it cannot stay the same, or it would still be chaos. And I don't know about you, but I want God to create something in my life. I want God to create something. Take the chaos that I've tried to live and tried to produce. I want God to touch that chaos and to produce, even if it causes disruption. I want God to disrupt my agenda. I want God to disrupt my own vanity and step in and take my chaos and get creative with it and put His hand on it and touch it and move in my life, in my family's life, in this church's life, in your life. When God begins to move, there's always disruption. And when there's disruption, that creates opportunity. We don't like the disruption. We don't like when God begins to pull up things and throw out things. But listen, do you know if you ever do decide, some of you hoarders like me, I hate springtime. I love springtime. But I hate springtime because it's always the time of the year where my wife says, "Hey, honey, how about let's do some spring cleaning?" You know what that really means? You know what that translates into? "Hey, honey, let me throw everything that's yours away. Let's start over." I got shirts from the Israel trip on our honeymoon. Yes, I do. I got T-shirts with more holes in them. I mean, they look like Swiss cheese, but they just now getting comfortable. I ain't got a T-shirt that ain't got a coffee stain on it, and but my point is, she wants to disrupt my system. She wants to invade my closet and invade my side of the room and say, let's get rid of this and let's trash that. And you know what? I never want to do it. And I'll even agree to it sometimes. Say, okay, yeah, we'll do that in the spring. And then spring comes. And I'll say, but I meant next spring. No, you agreed this, and this is the truth. And so we'll start. And she'll say, okay, what about this? No. What about that? No. And that goes on. And I say, no, 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 no. And she says, yes, 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 yes. And guess who wins? No, no. You don't. I can tell you know nothing about marriage. Yes, bless God, I'm the head of my home and she's the neck that turns me. I'm simply saying there has been some times I've said, okay, we'll get rid of it. And you know what I found? What was scary to me, what was negative to me, what was disruptive to me, what I didn't want to turn loose of, what I thought I could, hey, listen, what I thought I couldn't live without, I found that once they were gone, I didn't even miss them. And it opened up a whole lot of area that she could place new things in that become usable and better in my life. But had I never been willing to let her disrupt some areas and disrupt some things and clean out some areas in my life, those walls would have never been discovered. And what I'm simply saying is, God will come, and when He moves, He will come and take your chaos, and He'll disrupt it, and He'll toss some things, and He'll get rid of some things, and He'll demand this has to go and that has to go, only so He can open up worlds to replace with better. He took all that was void. He took all the dust and all the dirt and that was just floating abstractly everywhere, and He put order to it. And He created what we know as planet Earth and everything that was made. So, when God moves, there'll always be disruption that creates opportunity. And get this, out of that opportunity comes growth. I'm going to prove it to you. See, most of us as Christian people, we laugh about that little illustration I just give, and y'all love laughing at the preacher. Ha, 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 you such a hoarder. Ha, 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 I bet I could come to your house and find some stuff that's been around since Noah. When Brother Ned and Brother Noah come over on the ark, you'd have been here Wednesday night. Get that. Brother Ned had a pet giraffe. He brought it over. I'm simply saying, we all got, it's easy and fun and laughable to look into my little peephole of my life about my clothes and my tools and my stuff. But can I say something to you? We all got stuff that God wants to remove. Not to hurt you, but God wants to disrupt, and it may even look like disorder. But the reality is, we've learned to live in disorder. We've learned to live in our little world the way it is. And we become so tunnel vision to it that we think it's got to stay that way. And anything that's not that way ain't normal. And the reality is, listen to me, it has become our normal. But God's saying to you, there's so much of a better way. I mean, when we were lost, that was our normal. When we were sinners, sin and loving sin, going to the beer joint on the weekend, going partying, doing our, that was the thing. That's what we thought we lived for. And oh, when God flipped the light switch on, God said, I'll disrupt this. I'm going to take your chaos, and I'm going to get creative, and I'm going to disrupt your life, and I'm going to move in, and I'm going to bring glory and honor to your life. And He did that. Now you can't imagine your life the other way. And God, listen, the same is true in salvation, it's true in sanctification. Anytime God moves, He will disrupt so He can bring opportunity to your life that you can grow. God will never disrupt your life just to be disruptive. If He's disrupting it, that means He's moving with purpose. And He's trying to create something that's not there. When God moves, number one, He will enlighten your void. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Let me tell you what I think one of our greatest problems as a Christian is. We're living so hollow. There's so much void and emptiness in our lives that we have filled with everything else in the world. And that's why we still feel empty. And that's why we're still not satisfied. You remember when you got saved? I'm being sincere. Listen to me. I'm not off my rocker. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to prove it biblically. But do you remember when you got saved? You remember the day God saved you? Please get this point if you don't take nothing else on with you. Remember how full you felt? I mean, you remember that moment when He took your sin out of you? You felt light as a feather. I mean, I felt like I was floating. And immediately you were filled with joy that was unspeakable and full of glory. Remember that? Remember that euphoria? Remember that joy? Remember that excitement? And slowly but surely, it's like things, joy dripped out here and dripped out there and here and there, and we become empty, not of salvation, but of our joy. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so rather than going to God, we figured out to go to the world or go to ourself, allow our flesh, and allow whatever, entertainment, exercise, making a dollar, filling the life, and we have filled ourselves with those things that do not satisfy nor bring joy. When God said the only thing that's ever going to take the chaos that you're trying to live the... You know what's chaotic? Trying to live the Christian life with worldly standards. Trying to fill yourself with the earthly fuel and expecting to have the joy of the Lord when God said, I have heavenly fuel. I have something called the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. God wants to fill us. And that's what... You want to feel the excitement? You want to feel the joy of the Lord like you did the day He saved you? Let Him fill you. And you got to be empty. You got to be emptied. I've got to empty myself so that what He pours in ain't contaminated. Listen, it ain't like antifreeze. 50-50 ain't going to work. Half antifreeze and half what? Half the Holy Spirit and half of me ain't going to work. We got to say, Lord, empty me. That's the disruptive part. So that He can create the opportunity and then grow us by filling us with His Spirit. The first time we see God move in the Bible, you know what God did? He turned the lights on. Read it. You know what I'm trying to do tonight? With the Word of God? To the people of God, turn the light on and say, hey, there's more. There's more. God has more for you. God has more for me. God has more for your family. God has more for this church. But the devil is a deceiver and a liar, and he's trying to blind the minds of even Christian people. He's trying to darken it so you can't see. And God's saying to me and to you, I'll move. I'll move towards you, and I'll move in you, and I'll fill you. And God's trying to turn the light on. That's what He did to begin with. He enlightened us. I'm talking about enlightening our void. He dispelled the darkness. I'm talking about Genesis 1:1. We're right in the text. He dispelled the confusion. He dispels the obscurity and the formlessness. And God begins doing something for the first time in the light. God illuminates the situation. God begins bringing clarity. And we have been groping as Christian people in darkness too long, not seeing the movements of God, not picking up on the movement because it's been chaotic and dim and dusty. And God's trying to break through with His light and turn the light on and illuminate us to another side of Him where we can see His movement and feel His movement. And I said the first thing He done was illuminated. Listen to me. It wasn't until the fourth day that the sun, He said, let there be light. And the sun and the... That's day four. Are you hearing me? But on the first day, not the fourth, not the second, not the third, not the sixth or the seventh. On the first day, there was light. God didn't need the assistance of the sun, that thing He created. God didn't need the reflection off the sun to illuminate the moon. God didn't need the twinkles of the stars. No, in the beginning, God is the light. Hey, listen, all we need, we don't need a star. We don't need a moon or a sun. We need the S-O-N to illuminate our mind, and God can. Before there was ever a sun, there was light. And God began moving by illuminating. And that's what we need. God was, is, and shall forever be the light. There was no sun, no moon, no stars, but there was light, and God was the light. God, listen, God, you know this, but it's worth repeating. He was the light from the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the what? And the life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And He was the light in the beginning. And He's still the light. And the Bible says, and the light shineth. Listen, don't miss this verse. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Could I simply say, you'll know what revival is? Before I say what revival is, you may tell you what's hindering and preventing revival. God's illuminating. God's shining His light into the darkness of our churches, into the darkness of our bodies, into the darkness of our minds, and God will shine a light, and we don't comprehend that He's moving toward us. You say, how's He doing it? Right now, God's speaking. No, I ain't God, but this is God's Word. In the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and God's shining into our... and so much of the time, it goes right over our head or right through our ears. And we come sit on a pew and we leave the same that we come in. And God trying His best to shine the light into darkness. But the darkness comprehends it not. Hang with me. He was and remains the light of the world. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Not only was He the light in the past, He's the light of the world that's to come. Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. When there wasn't a sun, in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, He was the light. In heaven, there'll be no need of the sun nor the moon, because He, the Lamb, is the light. And so if He, listen, it goes without saying, if He was the light before the sun in darkness, and He's going to be the light in heaven without a sun, don't you think He's the light in this dark world? Oh, yes, He is. Yes, He is. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So how do we get this light? How do we get this illuminating? It's in the face of Jesus. When's the last time you looked into the face of Jesus? You want revival? What's the number one revival verse everybody quotes and preaches from? I preached from it recently. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my... Look at His face. Look at His eyes. Look into the eyes of Jesus. Look into the face of the darling Son of God. You can't stare at Him and sin. You'll either look away to sin, or you'll look to Him and live. Amen. Listen, He did more than illuminate. He did more than light. He took what was empty and dark and formless and made something incredible happen. But it began with light. And if we're going to have revival, it's going to begin with God flipping the light on and making us realize there's a lot that is void and empty in my life, in your life, and in this church. I hope God's flipping the light on and saying, things ain't okay. Let me take that back. They're okay, but they're not nowhere near what God's wanting. I'm not okay with just being okay. I mean this. I want, for the glory of God, I want desire to be more than average, Brother Jimmy. I want not just have life, but to have life more. Jesus didn't come just to give us life. He came to give life more abundantly. There's more. There's more. And he's trying to flip the light and say, look around. Let me disrupt some things. Let me just turn the light on long enough for you to see all the chaos so that I can begin creating and bringing opportunity and growth in your life and in your family and in your church. Lord, help us. But he didn't just turn the light on. Look, he began moving. He will enlighten the void in your life, in your marriage. He'll show you areas of your life that really have no meaning. He'll flip the light on and show you areas that are just really void. I mean, you could just write void. You know what a check that has void written on it means? It ain't no good. It's meaningless. Oh, you can carry it around in your pocket. But try to cash it. Try to buy something with it. It ain't gonna work. And when we have areas in our life that we're holding on to, I mean, and God's trying to say, that's void, that's vain, that's meaningless. Let me have control of this part of your life, and I will take that was vain, I'll take that was void, and I will create something that's worth having, and I'll move. Listen, let me hurry. I'm going to close with this point. And this is just the first point. It's the end of the first point. But if you didn't get nothing, get this part right here. This is the message in a nutshell. I'm talking about God moving. That's what I'm preaching about. A God that moves. And we need a God that moves. Remember, he said, let there be light, and let there be this, and let there be firmament. And he spoke, and things began coming together and separating and doing this. But you remember something happened. Something changed. I'm talking about in the creation process. Let there be creeping things, and there was creeping things. Let there be firmament. Let there be. But then the Bible said that he himself, God, didn't just say or didn't just speak, but that God took his hand and took the dust of the earth and formed man. Are you listening to me? He didn't just speak it. He didn't just say it. He touched it. He moved. He with his own hand, he reached down and formed in his own image, man, Adam. Remember that? Keep that in mind. This is big. Man was the first thing God touched. And hear me, man's been needing to be touched by God ever since. Amen.
He spoke the rest into existence, but he formed Adam by touching him, and man's been needing that touch ever since. Please hear me. You say, but that was just Adam, and that was just in creation, and what's the big deal about God touching versus God saying? This is the message tonight. Please don't miss it. I said I'm landing the plane. We're descending. So don't fall. Usually people get their stuff together and they wake up. They don't fall asleep during the descent. Wake up and listen. You can't go home without getting this part. Ezekiel, take it by one turn. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And I'm going to prove to you there's something about God moving and touching and breathing. And not just forming a man, but filling a man. And making a man function. Listen. Ezekiel 37. Turn there. Ezekiel 37. It's over in them sticky pages in your Bible that you ain't been to in a while. I'm just kidding. Ezekiel 37. I'm giving you time to turn. Take your time, get there. When you get there, say amen. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm telling you to turn. I didn't even turn. Here we are. Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. Listen to how important it is. And this is, hey, speaking of revival, speaking of God moving, speaking of God breathing, speaking of God taking something that's dead and bringing it to life. Speaking of God forming something, but it must be filled. Listen. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Don't that sound like the normal Baptist church? And I'll even go one further since I ain't their pastor. Don't that sound like most of the time around here? Dry. As last year's cracker juice. Dry. I need the breath of God. Listen. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will... Do you hear that? He said, he's going to cause breath. He's going to take those dead, dry bones, those lifeless bones, those bones that cannot do anything, those bones that cannot stand up and testify, those bones that cannot fight a war, those bones that's no army at all, those bones that's not effective at all. He said, I'm going to take my time, I'm going to take my touch, and I'm going to take my breath and breathe into them the breath of God, the breath of life, and they shall live. That's what revival is. God taking that's dead and dry, that church, that Christian that's done, that's dry, that's almost dead, that and God coming by and saying, I'm moving your way, and I'm going to touch you, and I'm going to breathe on you, and you are going to live. And then, listen, he didn't just breathe on them. Look what he said. He said, I will lay sinews upon you. Well, he didn't blow that on them. He said, I'm going to lay it on them. He touched them. He said, I'm going to lay sinew and muscle. And I'm going to bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
So I prophesied. I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto them, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. Have you lost hope? Have you got dry and distant from the Lord? Are you twice dead and plucked up by the roots, needing a touch from God, needing a fresh breath from God? He said, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I ain't got time to preach that. I'm coming back to it. But I just want to say this, whether it was Adam or whether it was Ezekiel prophesying in the valley of the dry bones and all them dead dry bones, God has one message. I'm moving towards you. I'm taking the light and I'm cutting the light on. And I want you to see that dark, dingy, dull, dried up bones. I want you to see that graveyard. I want you to see the condition of yourself. This is the house of Israel. Ezekiel is prophesying to. This is what you've become. You've become a byword. You've become just living in a graveyard. You're not doing anything. You're not fit to battle anybody. There's nothing that we can even call an army. But when I'm done with you, ye shall stand. My spirit shall be upon you, and ye shall be a great army. And I'm saying to Morningstar Baptist Church, God is moving this direction. I'm saying to you, Daddy, I'm saying to you, sir, husband, ma'am, son or daughter, God's moving towards you. And God's been forming you. You may have been in the forming process. He formed Adam. He touched him. God moved toward him and he formed him. And listen to me. Please listen to me. Say, I've been trying to live for God and it just seemed like I'm just going round and round in circles. There's another prophet in the Bible by the name of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, go down to the potter's house and you watch that potter. And listen, God, he said, watch that potter put that clay on that wheel and it go round and round and he'll touch that clay and he'll get the imperfections out. And it may have been a while that you just feel like in your Christian life you ain't made no advancements. You ain't went anywhere. All you've been doing is just going round and round and getting pressure from every side. You are in the forming process, but it's God who's forming you. Hang on. It ain't going to be long. And when you form into the image he wants you, then he's going to come and he's going to breathe on you. He's going to fill you. And what he feels, he fashions and then he makes you function.
Amen.
Amen. God's making a move your direction.
Amen.
For the most part, most of us have just been being fashioned. Being formed. And it ain't a luxurious process. Having your imperfections plucked out. having God pressurize you, spinning you around and around, throwing the heat to you, but it's getting you prepared to be a vessel He can fill. And when He breathes in you, that was dead and could not perform anything will stand and serve and fight as part of the Lord's army. And that's what God's wanting to do with every one of us in this room. I know it's been scattered this evening. Let's stand together. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray, oh God, take my stammering lips and scattered words, Lord God, tonight. I pray in Jesus' name to the Holy Ghost, Lord, would move our direction. Speak to us, Lord. Breathe on us. Touch us, Lord. Lord, I need a touch from You. I need the breath of God. Lord, I don't want to just be formed and fashioned. God, I so want to be filled, Lord. I need the breath of God in my own life, Lord, that I can live. Not just exist, Lord, but live. Be the Christian You've called me to be. Be the soldier, the good soldier, God, that You've called me to be. Not entangled by the affairs of this world. Lord, I pray that same prayer, God, for every believer here. Oh, God, would You please move in every individual heart. Speak to every individual heart. Lord, turn the light on. Illuminate the areas of our life, God, that You are trying, oh God, to disrupt. God, that You're trying to remove the void places in our life. God, that You could replace, God, with something that will bring glory and honor to Your name. God, that You could create, Lord, as the psalmist prayed, God, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew in me a right spirit, Lord. God, wilt Thou not revive us again? That Thy people may rejoice in Thee. God, not for our glory. God, not that we would celebrate or take credit for anything, but in everything You'd have the preeminence, Lord, that You'd get the glory, the maximum honor and glory. But for Jesus' sake, Father, would You move, oh God, in my life, would You move in my wife's life? God, would You move in my children's life? Oh, God, would you manifest and move in such a way we'd never be the same as a family? God, would You move in the lives of Your people in this church? God, every family, every daddy, every husband, every mama, every wife, every child, God, every son, every daughter, and God, then as a whole, as a church, God, I think about that church in the book of Revelation, Lord. They had a name that they were alive, but Lord, they were dead. Oh God, they had in their own mind, they thought they were living and doing fine, but they were nigh unto death. God, I pray You'd come to us, Lord, and show us how distant, God, and how close to death we are spiritually, and breathe on us, Lord. God, breathe life into us, Lord, and revive us. And Lord, help us, God, to be grateful and thankful. Lord, that You'd be mindful to move our direction. God, we'll be thankful and we'll be grateful. We'll be careful to say from the depths of our heart, thank You. Have Your will and way in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need the altar, it's open. No need.